E1.
Number 30, B.
Can you see what happens? That law. You just must somehow feel it in your bones that there is in reality that law of individualization at work, which calls itself truth, life, love. But when it comes to the dynamic sense of life, then what do we feel? We feel that that dynamic sense of life is a full, because it's a whole, truth is always all, a full life power, a whole sense of life power, which individually therefore expresses itself as a flooding and flooding of life, a flooding power, abundantly over flooding every situation. And then you come to love, where you feel, yes, it floods every situation because it wants to achieve what it wants to achieve. It wants to consummate what it wants to consummate. This life power has a purpose in life. Yes? And let's go to the next one, to truth. And make again those three arrows, that make it at once and don't hesitate it so that we can get on with the job. Three arrows, that's easy to make always the same three arrows, huh? It's always the same three arrows from the synonym out there, huh? Okay. And when we have truth, we have always the full sense, I said, huh? The whole sense. Truth always gives the sense of wholeness. And so, what is the sense of wholeness when you have the power of consciousness? What could be the whole sense of consciousness? Certainly the Christ consciousness. There is no higher, no fuller sense of consciousness than really the Christ consciousness. So I get you have here the power of the Christ consciousness. Yes? And what do we get if that Christ consciousness is individualized? Don't we have an individualized Christ consciousness? Huh? It's as easy as that. You see, these laws are so easy that you think they are much more complicated than what they are. Huh? So we get the individual Christ consciousness. Yes. And what on earth could we perhaps get if we see that Christ consciousness fulfilled? What is a fulfilled Christ consciousness? Huh? It's fulfilled. Yes. I think you really get true manhood, huh? You really get the Son of Man, huh? Because that's the fulfillment of it. That when it is fulfilling itself, you get the perfect manhood or something like that. Yes? Again, what does it mean? If you just sit down quietly and just think about it in a very simple way, here you know that in being there is that law of individualization. Individualization that comes to truth as the power of consciousness. Therefore it takes the whole Christ consciousness in being and says, yes, there is one eternal Christ consciousness. But that Christ consciousness, because it is expressing itself as life or individualizing itself as life, brings forth the individual and infinitely individual Christ consciousness. And the fulfillment or the consummation of such a Christ, individual Christ consciousness, is really the establishment of perfect manhood. Now look at it. We have the whole Christian history and the whole Bible, and what was the Bible talking about? It said there is a Christ, already in the Old Testament, there is a Christ, always at work, but there will come an individual Christ manifestation. And so they prophesied the individual Christ consciousness, which appeared as Christ Jesus. That's at the point of life. Christ Jesus, it's an individual manifestation of the Christ consciousness that never repeats itself again. Meaning that each one of us is such a Christ consciousness, or can express such Christ consciousness, so that we don't just have Christ Jesus, but that we can have a Christ Mary, or a Christ Anne, or a Christ Elizabeth, or a Christ Ernest, or a Christ Bob, and a Christ this, and a Christ that. Because that Christ always individualizes itself. In Jesus Christ, he let himself be individualized perfectly, love, and so he appeared as the Son of Man, as true over here in love, as a perfect man. And so in the same way as we let the Christ consciousness individualize itself in all what we do, step by step, then we too bring forth a perfect sense of manhood. That's the consummation of it which we get in love. Okay, then let's go to love. And now you make your three arrows. You don't have to look at my writing. You can make three arrows without me. You still have to look every time how I do it, huh? Yes. So we have here love as that total power, that power of total engagement. And if we take that and take that power of total engagement from the point of view of truth, then you really have the total engagement, namely the universal solvent. That's another power, huh? The power of that universal solvent. So that we know love wants to solve everything, you see. See, we don't just take any old word in here or term, but we know that love, from the textbook, we know that it is a universal solvent that can solve everything, so it's total. And when we see it as individualized, what do we get? Then we are individually a universal solvent. We are an individual savior. Each one is a savior, huh? That's what you get. Each one is a savior. That's the individualization of a universal solvent, that we are an individual universal solvent. That we are a world factor in being, a world savior. And if we see that and see then from the point of view of love, of the consummation sense, we see what? That therefore as such an individual savior, I guess that we are a blessing for the whole universe. That's the consummation of it, that we are a blessing for the whole universe. Yes? Have you written it down, those few words? All right, then put your pencil down and think what it means. Think of the bigness of it. Think of the bigness of it in comparison to that argument which one has and says, well, I'm just a pebble on the beach. That's all I am. I'm so insignificant that God not even looks after me. That I'm just, oh yes, when I hear that, I get the creeps, you know, and I hear, I'm just one of God's little ones. Then I really get the creeps. Oh, think of Jesus saying, I'm just one of God's little ones. He said, no, I'm the Son of God. I and my Father is one. He didn't talk that sense. So, the law, when we look away from people, we see that the law states that truth is that universal solvent of love. That's what love as total engagement does. It says, I'm a universal solvent. Not one individual case is not included in my solvent. I can solve and resolve everything. And actually, if I begin to individualize that, I begin to see that each one of us, if he lets himself be used by that law, is a savior to the world. Why should only Jesus say, I'm the savior? If he said, what I do, you will do also, you will do bigger things. Why then doesn't it come to our consciousness that we feel that each one of us is a savior to the world? I remember somewhere, I think it was in Collectania, I think I read it, where Mrs. Eddy said, always treat and always see and work in Christian Science as if the whole salvation of the world would depend on you alone. Meaning, take on the responsibility to be the savior of the world. And that naturally is asking much more than just to be one of God's little ones. Now, humanly, naturally, we can't do that. But divinely, it's obvious. Divinely, it's obvious because we are not doing it humanly, but the law is doing it divinely. It says, the law says, I'm the whole truth, and therefore I contain all individual truths, life, and each one of these individual truths reflect love, namely, to be the savior of the world. So, if we sit back in the quietude of the evening, I can't say anymore in those long winter nights, because in California, as I said, we don't have long winter nights. But we have them, and that's why I love them, because they, in the winter, they come in very early at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, it's dark, black dark, and perhaps in the morning at 8 and 9, it begins to dawn. So we have these long winter nights where everything is quiet, and I love them. To sit back and just say, what's going on in the universe? In the universe of spirit. There, that law goes on which says, you know, I am that I am. And that I am says, I am the law of infinite individuation, of infinite specification, truth, life, love. And as truth, I am the power that can solve, at the point here of love, that can solve everything. There is nothing is excluded in that, because I am the whole truth. So I begin to realize that therefore that whole truth as a universal solvent is really showing me that each one, if he let himself be used and is transparent to that power, is a savior in this world. And you begin to feel how big you are. How big you are divinely. How nothing you are humanly. How big one is divinely and sees, yes, if I let really the divine truth shine through me, I'm a world savior. Just as Paul was a world conqueror. Think what that single man has done for Christianity. It seems as if we wouldn't have had Paul, that Christianity would just have landed after a few years as a little Judaic sect somewhere in Jerusalem, people still going to the temple and washing their feet and so on, being circumcised and so on. He as alone just saw the new paradigm and said, no, this is not for the Jews, this is for the world. And I go out to the world, I'm not going to the Jews anymore. And he had to fight for it, that he was allowed to go to the world. But he set the whole world at fire. And without him, Christianity couldn't have spread. So he could see that he individually, because he was touched by the Christ, would be a world conqueror. Perhaps today we may be a world discoverer. And then we can see that this idea, through the actuality of love, can be a big, big blessing to mankind. Can you see the difference? Instead of constantly having that sense and that attitude with oneself that says, I wish I would be blessed. It's the religious sense of the word, crawling to the feet of God and say, bless me. Whereas science comes and says, no, 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 you are a blessing. You bless. Your job is to bless. Your job is not to beg for blessing. You are the idea, and therefore you are an individual expression of that total engagement of love, and therefore you are a universal blessing for mankind and for being. Think of that inward attitude compared with that begging attitude to get something from God Almighty. It's only consciousness. No outward objective situation must be changed. All that needs to be changed is our attitude. To be scientific in our attitude. All right, let's go to soul, to that translating power, and see what happens. Truth? Oh no, before we start there, make three arrows. Yes. And we start again with the arrow that points to truth, the wholeness of translation. What is the wholeness of the translating power? I think I would call it the fundamental translatability of being. It's a fundamental translatability. I don't know if this means something very much to you. It means an enormous lot for those thinkers in the lines of modern science, the philosophizing scientists, because they begin to realize that one of the greatest wonders there exists is the fact that something can translate itself into something else, and that we can only understand the whole world as one world if we know that there is a fundamental translatability whereby that one world, that one principle of the world can show itself forth in a translated sense in infinite individual ways as parts. It's again that great question, the whole and its parts. How is it possible that the whole shows itself forth in the parts, so that the parts are not little pieces, but they are always reflections of the whole? And so they see there must be somehow, they agree that they don't know how it operates, but they see that there must be in being a law, a fundamental law of translatability, or we wouldn't be able to have more than just one amorphous mass. The very fact that it does individualize itself and specify itself is a sense of translatability. That sense, how can the one truth translate itself to a specific case as a specific healing? How is that possible? That's the fundamental law of translatability, which must exist in being. So that soul tells us that the translating power, from the point of view of truth, is fundamental translatability, and therefore when it touches life as the individual way, that it shows that it translates every detail. So translated to every detail. And you see soul as the translating power. And if it's translated to every detail, what does it consummate? Love is always the consummation of it, the fulfillment of it. If it does that, say, then we get really the retranslation of error. That we begin to realize that love is that which translates error or every detail, every erroneous detail. We can really now begin to see the love sense here in it, because it begins to save by translating error back into truth, by translating sickness back into into health. By translating lack back into fullness. Everything that is opposite is translated back. Yes. Try to feel the touch of it. That touch of it where you stand face to face with the infinite. And you know there is an infinite ever going on. And then within yourself you say, yes, that's okay, but what I really need is that that infinite is specifically manifesting itself as a specific idea in a specific situation to correct a specific error. That's my proposition. I can't do it humanly, so I have to let a divine law operate. And I let the divine law operate when I begin to see that soul is the translating power. Because soul says subject and object is one. It translates the subject to the object and making it identical. You know that Schelling, the German philosopher, he had a very short and very clear-cut definition for identity. He said, identity is the reality at the point where subject and object is one. That's the easiest way of expressing it. And this is the fundamental question which we are facing. Therefore, we can see that there is a law operating which says, yes, being is soul. Being is the translating power. And so Truth, Life and Love says, yes, there is a fundamental power of translation. That's my fundamental truth. And in that translation, every or each detail is being touched by it. And as every detail is touched by it, I can see that it retranslates or reforms everything that needs to be retranslated and brings the true identity back into focus.